I believe it's Sister Sean. I don't know why I feel like singing this, but I do. There are situations we find ourselves in, time and time again, that bring us to our knees. We begin to wonder, will the darkness ever end? We begin to question what the end result will be. What if I fail? What if there's no way out this time? What if after all I've done, there's no hope for me? What if I lose? What if there's not enough to make it? What if it's impossible to be all I should be? But what if I'm anointed? What if His grace is sufficient? What if by the blood of the Lamb I have been redeemed? And what if He supplies all my needs according to His riches? What if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Hey, what if I'm anointed? Oh, what if His grace is sufficient? What if by the blood of the Lamb I have been redeemed? And what if He supplies all my needs according to His riches? What if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? There are situations, oh listen, we find ourselves in, time and time again, that bring us to our knees. We begin to wonder, will the darkness ever end? We begin to question what the end result will be. We ask ourselves, what if I fail? What if there's no way out this time? What if after all I've done, there's no hope for me? Oh, what if I lose? And what if there's not enough to make it? What if it's impossible to be all I should be? Oh, but what if I'm anointed? Hey, what if His grace is sufficient? What if by the blood of the Lamb I have been Hey, devil! Oh, what if God supplies all my needs according to His riches? What if I can do all things through Christ? Oh, what if I'm anointed? Oh, what if His grace is sufficient? What if by the blood of the Lamb I have been redeemed? And what if He supplies all my needs according to His riches? What if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens? Hey, listen now. Oh, because if I seek Him first, His kingdom and His righteousness, I know all these things will be added unto me. And what if everything I put my hand to prospers? Well, I better be ready to receive. Oh, what if we're anointed? Oh, what if His grace is sufficient? What if by the blood of the Lamb I have been redeemed? And what if He supplies all my needs according to His riches? What if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that I'm gonna do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I want that touch tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Brothers, I don't know if that's got wheels on it or not, but if we could somehow get that either to that door or in that door so we could open this altar up, I would appreciate it. Amen. Help him, Big Mike, if you don't mind. Little John. Yeah, there you go. Amen. Try that door. I don't know if there's room in there, but amen. Just keep your mind on the Lord tonight. 2 Samuel. I have felt this is what I was to preach tonight, and sometimes we look around. Don't scratch it. We want it to be nice and shiny when we burn it. Amen. Sometimes we look around and we think, man, maybe I should do this or preach that, but it's at those times that I have to try to follow my heart. Amen. So we'll be reading from the book of 2 Samuel. Amen. Very familiar scripture probably for most of you. Chapter number 21. Especially appreciate you pastors coming tonight, bringing your people. Anytime a pastor has an evangelist, he always takes a risk. When you have me, you have double risk. Double jeopardy. Hallelujah. Amen, Brother Mikey. Don't say it too loud. I'm preaching your days. You better watch. So I appreciate, amen, the opportunity to be here. And I just pray that we can help you tonight. Jump in on this thing. It's rolling, but just go ahead and hop on the cart and let God speak to your heart tonight. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 21. There was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." King called on the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn to them. Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make an atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" The Gibeonites said unto him, "We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, nor for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel." He said, "What shall you say that will I do for you?" They answered the king, "The man that consumed us and that devised against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose." And the king said, "I will give them." But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michael, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Maholathite. He delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. They fell all 7 together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them from out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast of the field by night. There was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, had done. Lord, help me to preach tonight, anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. God, I feel like this is what I need to preach, so I pray that you'd help me to preach it and take me in a direction you want me to go. Say only what you'd have me to say. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing of myself. Dear God, I pray, please help us tonight. Please anoint us tonight. Please move in this service, Lord God, I pray. Thank you for what you have done, for what you're doing now. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. And everybody said, amen. We have here a story of a famine in the land that lasted 3 years. David inquired of the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, is this famine in our land?" The message came to him from God because of Saul's broken covenant with the Gibeonites. And so David went down and said, "What can we do to to appease the wrath of God, that he's angry with us and has brought this famine in our land. The Bible said that they said, David, we don't want anything of you. You never done a thing wrong to us. Give us 7 of Saul's grandchildren. The man that done us wrong, we'll take. He's gone. His son is dead. Give us 7 men of his lineage, 7 of his grandchildren. We will hang them in the hill before the Lord, and the wrath of God will be appeased. So David granted their request. The Bible said that 2 of these boys belonged to a woman, a concubine of Saul by the name of Rizpah. And the Bible said that she done something that, even reading about it thousands of years after it happened, stirs my heart. The Bible said she took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock. These men were hanging out there in the open burning sun. They were hung there in the beginning of April, about the middle of April, the beginning of barley harvest. They hung there until the fall rains, which normally begin around October. This woman set out upon that rock with this sackcloth. The Bible said she done 2 things. The Bible said she suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast of the field by night. And if the Lord would help me tonight, I'm going to preach for a few minutes on beast and buzzards. Beast and buzzards. Amen. I want to tell you, Brother Mikey has already told us tonight, and he probably should have just went right on. But, you know, he has told us that we are living in perilous times. Amen. The pastor has told us that we are in the midst of a shaking, and only those things which cannot be shaken will remain. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I can't hardly listen to the news. I get tired. I have to turn off Brother Rush and Brother Sean because it just makes me sick to my stomach. Amen. At what they are doing to destroy our great nation. Amen. And there's no one single individual responsible for it. It's a whole bunch of crooked politicians. And worse than that, it's a bunch of crooked judges that have somehow found seats throughout our fair land that are passing laws against our 10 commandments. Somebody told me, I believe it was it Dr. Pepper, that's fixing to make a can. Amen. Maybe Pepsi, and I haven't proved it yet, but someone was telling me that they're fixing to do this and that they're going to put God, they're going to take off one nation under God. Amen. They're going to put, you know, on the can, amen, some writing, but they're going to omit one nation under God. I tell you, America is in a free fall tonight. Amen. And it scares me. But I tell you what scares me, even as bad as that, the Bible said in the last days that wickedness would abound. It told us that men would do evil things and be inventors of evil things. And if there's ever been a time when we have seen such evil, amen, and so many avenues of evil, amen, like we are seeing today. And I'm telling you, I feel like what troubles me more than for myself is when I look at those 3 beautiful children that God has given me. And I wonder what they will face and what they will stand against. Amen. I kind of feel like Rizpah tonight. I feel like I'm out on a hot rock. There's not a shade tree in sight. I am weary to the core. The sweat runs from my brow. Amen. But the buzzards are circling overhead. And they're after something that belongs to me tonight. They've got their eye on something. Amen. That is dear to my heart. Amen. The buzzards of hell are honing in on our youth groups, and they are trying to find every way. You pray one through over here, and one over here backslides. You get that one prayed through, and one back there gives up. And it seems like they're attacked on every side, and they are attacked on every hand. And the buzzards of hell, amen, my God, the vultures are a serpent, amen, trying to pluck the eyes out of things that are precious to us. And I want to know tonight, does anybody here have a burden? Is anybody here awake? Is anybody here see the buzzards? Is anybody here on that rock saying, my God, I got to do something to protect this next generation? Amen. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. There were no 12-gauge shotguns. Come on here now. I said there were no 12-gauge shotguns. Amen. There was no M16s. Amen. There was nothing probably in her hand but a stick. Amen. A woman stood on a rock and said, you are not going to touch my boys on this rock. I cannot tell you, I cannot bring life back into them. But if you think I'm going to stand by and let you pluck their eyes out and pluck their hearts out and pluck their, come on here now. Amen. I want to preach tonight about things. You see, the buzzards were the vultures of the daytime. Amen. The buzzards were the things that she could see. Amen. The buzzards was what she could see and fight off herself. And I want to preach to you there some things. Amen. That we can see is going to destroy us. It will just open our eyes tonight. But I'm afraid that too many of us, amen, are sitting off somewhere under a shade tree, amen, are rocking in a hammock somewhere, while the vultures are circling our churches, amen, they're circling our young people, they're trying to destroy, they're trying to tear down, they're trying to wipe out, but my God, there's something inside of me that says, my God, get a stick out, get somewhere with God, and say, you may take them, but you're going to take them over me, you're going to take them over my prayers. You're going to take them over my revival. You're going to take them over my tears. Beast and buzzers are on the prowl. Where's Rizpah at in this service tonight? Woo! Oh, y'all just sit there and reach for your seatbelt tonight. I'll try to preach to you a little while. I've got quite a bit of ridicule for my stance I've took on Facebook. Last week in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I walked into the convenience store to pay for my diesel fuel. And there on the front page of the Tulsa World stood a picture of a 21-year-old boy who befriended somebody's little 12 and 13-year-old girl. Yeah, I'm preaching about buzzards. Oh, I said he knocked on their door while mama was at work. He knocked on the door via the computer, come on now, and said, how about letting me be your friend? Amen. And unbeknownst to some sleeping mama, amen, and some dope-induced daddy somewhere, amen, that should have been out on a rock, amen, with a stick in his hand, amen, some pervert made an entryway, amen, through Facebook into some little girl's home, amen, and befriended them, amen, and within a few weeks he convinced them to meet him, and tonight there are two little girls, amen, who are runt, amen, whose purity has been taken from them by a 21-year-old pervert. Oh, come on and help me. And can you believe that we got so-called holiness preachers? Amen. Supposed to be our camp meeting speakers. Amen. That's supposed to be on the rock with a stick in their hand. Amen. Is telling us it's okay because they want to send pictures of each other's grandchildren. I'm not worried about your grandchildren's pictures. I'm worried about these boys that's sitting on this front row that's going to find the wrong friend. Thank God I'm a word. About your little girl, and I want to know where you are, mama. I want to know where you are, daddy. Are you worried about the vultures that are circling? Woo. What about the young lady at the Allentown youth camp several years ago, huh, who was befriended by someone? Her parents found out, amen, and shut everything down and turned the computer off and everything, but it's too late. She went back and made contact with him again. And at Allentown Youth Camp, she went missing. They immediately called the law and they surrounded that perimeter and shut her down. I may not get exactly right, but I'll get it close enough. They shut down the perimeters within a couple miles. They found a car sitting somewhere alongside the road and they stayed back from it. And directly him and her stepped out of the woods together. Some 30-something, yeah, I believe it was around 30-year-old pervert. I don't have all the details. Amen, stepped out of the woods. They grabbed him and her. When they opened the trunk of his car, Mike, the evidence in the trunk said he didn't have no good plans. Amen. Love was not what was on his mind. Amen. Commitment was not what he had in his heart. Oh, come on here, help me now. Amen. The only reason that she's alive today probably is because mama was on a rock and she was keeping her eye on her. And when she went missing for a second, she didn't wait. Oh, come on now. Amen. But don't you think it would have been better? Amen. If mama had never had the opportunity, if the little girl had a parent, but I said, I'm not taking no chances. I'll cut out my shot tire. Now everybody that gets on Facebook is not going to hell. Everybody that sends pictures of their grandkids is not evil. But we are surrounded tonight by
of young people who are vulnerable, and the busers are looking for an open space. My God, it's time you and I said we don't have to have it. Amen. I said it's time you and I hit our knees in prayer and got to stick out and said not while I'm a watching. Amen.
You can't tell me it's sin. Just keep on. Just keep on telling yourself that. While my youth groups are fighting for survival, and their number one excuse is some quote-unquote holiness preacher, amen, who doesn't have enough sense to say, hey, I'm leading somebody here. If I do it, everybody can do it. And everybody's not going to get in trouble. Are y'all helping me tonight? I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. This is not my whole message. This is what I'm just getting started, but I'm going to preach to you a while tonight. Amen. I told them, I said, the young people in my church, when we go to camp meeting, we know there are hypocrites there. They're in every camp meeting. There's some in this place tonight. I've never been in a church yet that didn't have a few. Huh? But the good news was, my youth group didn't know nothing about it. I said, just get up there and shout and have a big time. We all just shout and went to church. But you know what they're doing now, Brother Stacy? Everywhere we go, well, I know what they're doing. I know what movies they've been watching. I know what they've been. Now, you ought to see their picture on Facebook. And all the confidence has been. And now instead of going in there and having church, we know everything about everybody. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Somebody's wife somewhere is telling far too many intimate details to every man across the country. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me, but that's okay. Amen. I'm not running for anything. And I'm not running from anything tonight. I come to tell you, God called me to preach a gospel. I wish I could just preach love, peace, and chicken grease. But when I look overhead and I see the vultures, when I see our babies are in danger, something rises up inside of me that says, what are you going to do about it? I said, what are you going to do about it? Woo. Brother Chris, vultures. You'd have to have a brain the size of an ant running down a 6-lane highway to not say that television wasn't good for your children. Come on here now. The world says turn off your TV. Huh? Psychologists say that the reason kids murder and rape and pillage is they learn it through the television programs and the video games. They don't go to, come on, y'all understanding me tonight? Amen. And we come to holiness churches. And we want to buck and snort. And many of you, like Brother Sam said, we had to hide it. You've been trying to find a way to sneak it out of here. Amen. Come on here now. Do you care? Is that all you care about your children? I mean, really, is that the only burden you've got for your grandchildren? I mean, look up here at these young people. Amen. Do you not care more about them? Amen. And for us to have a revival, amen, that you can sit around and sup, amen, fill your flesh. I'm here to tell you, my God, we're here to pray tonight. And we're here to get our eyes open. Yes, it's lonely out on that rock. Yes, your family will say you're crazy. Yes, your loved ones may say you've lost your mind. But they can't see the buzzers. I said they can't see the buzzers like RISPA can. You are not going to touch my children. Amen. Brother Brent, why do we preach against the jewelry? I just don't get it. I'll tell you why we preach against jewelry. Stand up, little John. We preach against jewelry for his sake. You trying to tell me my wedding band's going to send me to hell? We won't discuss right now whether your wedding band is sending you to hell. But the problem is when we give our young people a taste of the world, they don't know where to stop. Huh? Are you saying, Brother Britt, and that's the only question that we can ask. And it's just, can I get away with it? But the question with me is not, Sister Farrell, can I get by with it? Is it going to affect my children and future generations? We know that the major denominations voted in the wedding band and the television and said it's going to be okay. And look what it has done to them. It has utterly destroyed them.
Amen. Now, God, you walk in. You look on the piano. You don't know if it's a it. Amen. A him, a shim, a he. You don't even know what it is. Come on and help me. You might as well say amen. Amen. And our young people don't want nothing to do with it. Their kids is running wild. Their kids are drug addicts and fornicators and 5 and 6 times married. Why? Because somebody failed to stand on a rock. Amen. Somewhere a preacher that should have stood flat-footed and said, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Was found sleeping in a hammock somewhere. And the buzzards come in unaware.
No, we don't have to preach holiness every message. No, we don't have to preach holiness every time. We all know that. But I'm going to tell you, you just let it go for a couple weeks and watch the buzzards close in on your young people. Could I ask you a question tonight? There are some of you here, and I mentioned this the other night. I hope you don't think I was putting you down, because I have no desire to put you down. I'm going to preach for a while, but it may seem like I'm going to preach all night, but I'm not going to. There are some of you here, I mentioned the other night, you're in your third and your fourth marriage. And God love your heart for whatever got you there. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't think that I ain't out on this rock trying to keep my kids from the hell you've been through, you're only fooling yourself. I'll love you. I'll preach to you. Amen. Come on here now. I'll tell you that if you'll live right, that you can make it. But I'm going to tell you something, what I am going to do. I'm going to try to keep these boys on this front row from going through the darkness that you've had to go through. You stand up and look me in the eye and tell me that it's fun. You stand up and tell me, look me in the eye and tell me that it's not torture. You stand up and look me and tell me that ain't affected your kids. Amen. So you know what? I love you and I'm glad you're here. But my God, have enough sense tonight when the preacher gets up and says, hey, let's watch who we date. Let's watch who we marry. Let's thank God. Stand up and say, my God, preach it, preacher. Amen. The buzzard got me, but I don't want him to get my children. I don't want him to get my grandchildren. God, if we don't all help me, Holy Ghost, amen, we've got to get out on that rock and shake a stick at the vultures, Brother Brandon. Let me tell you something, Brother R.C., the divorce rate is now higher in the church than it is in the world. And one of the reasons for that is because many people in the world have simply resulted, went to shacking up. They don't get married no more. And that's why this statistic has risen. That's why this number has gotten higher. Probably there would probably be more divorces, but the reason is they're shacking up. But I want to tell you something. When you come to my church tonight, amen, Sister Alva, if you went to Lighthouse Folk Gospel, amen, there are almost as many women there sitting there by themselves without a husband, and there are as many kids there without a daddy, amen, as there are with daddies. And all y'all ain't going to help me tonight, are you? Amen, Brother Bent, you sure are passionate about this. I want to tell you something, husband and wife, if you two don't get together and quit your fussing and fighting, I got the buzzards are closing on you, and you'll be the next casualty. I wish I could preach tonight. God, you need to work things out. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. God, if you two don't find yourself an altar and say, not my will, but time be done, there's going to be another casualty on the rock. Amen. But my God, you're not going to say that this preacher didn't stand out here tonight and tell you it don't have to be. I said it don't have to be. We don't have to have another divorce. We don't have to have another broken home. God can't help us tonight. Lift your hands and ask God to help this preacher. Woo. I'm not making light of your situation. I'm sorry. I hate what you've been through. Amen. I love you tonight, and I mean that. But I'm going to tell you something. I feel an urgency to get out on this rock and say, no more, devil. Amen. Brother Bob, do you feel my burden? No more. Sister Beth Morris sits on the pew by herself. Her husband, a backslidden holiness preacher. The only time I've ever been on Facebook in my life,
Somebody took me there. I don't even know how they showed me. I'll never, you know what? I got to see my one trip to Facebook. I got to see Sister Bess Moore's husband with his new woman getting matching tattoos. I was sick to my stomach for days. Oh, come on and help me now. Because I knew that precious little saint that sat on my pew and cried. Oh, come on. How many more? The buzzards is attacking at Fairlands. They're attacking it, Brother Tracy Boyd. They're attacking it, Stephen C. They're attacking it. Come on, they're everywhere. They seem to be without number. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not a doom and gloomer. Amen. We're having revival right here, right now. But I'm going to tell you, there's a cry in my heart that says, my God, Brother Mike, he's after your boys tonight. He's trying to circle in, Sister Tammy. Amen. But I believe we can have a revival in these last days. That'll shake the gates of hell and drive the buzzards back a little ways. We may not eradicate them. Anybody will take heed to some of this holiness preaching tonight and make a few steps in our lives. Hey, God, get out of that hammock. Get out there on that rock. Let the sweat roll off of you and suffer not the birds to land in your house. Amen. If you're here tonight, young married couple, you don't have to fight every day you were married. I don't care if you got married, slam out of the will of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it's the will of God now. Amen. I said, if you got married out of the will of God, it's the will of God now. Amen. There ain't no going it back. There ain't no doing it over because you know better. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to get down this altar.